MAL.
Now, Washington Mornings on the Mall. At AM 630.
WMAL. Larry O'Connor here at 837 alongside Jesse Jane Duff, Gunnery Sergeant, retired after 20 years in the Marines. Thanks for joining us, Jesse Jane.
Thank you.
It's a good thing to have you here today because we're talking now about the situation at the Navy Yard, Southeast D.C., where all of the streets surrounding the Navy Yard and the Nationals Park, the whole area is completely shut down. Traffic is a mess, and it's because there is a report of an active shooter in one of the buildings on the Navy Yard. Of course, it brings to mind the shootings of 2013 that happened in that same space, not the same building, but in the Navy Yard.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me really quickly, Jesse Jane Duff, about the access to military bases. I've been to the Navy
yes.
Yard. There is a little, actually, I was surprised. I brought my kids there for the museum, and there is quite a bit that you have to go through before you can get into the interior of the Navy Yard,
right.
but you can get on pretty
you
easily.
Can act, yeah, you can get on as long as you are showing you have an ID, yes, particularly if you have a retired ID card or an active duty ID card, and if you and they will look at your car and whatnot. They're not going to dig through everybody's possessions and trunks simply because there is no capable, there's no reason to do this every time you go on base, and the backlog, you would never get through the front gates. But that's why cars that are not registered or you don't have a military ID are often sent off to the side and they will search those.
Mm.
However, in this case, it could have been somebody who had already had access to the base, such as in the previous situation.
That's what it was 2 years ago.
Right. And the thing that disturbs me mostly is that there are people on active duty on that base who can't even defend themselves. They're sitting ducks. I'm an expert with a 9mm, an M16, and an M14 rifle. Anybody seen an M14, you don't want to see me carrying it because it's pretty big.
Mm.
But the fact is that I'm a trained shooter, and I've been identified an award-winning shooter, and yet if I'm on base and this guy came into my office, I could have taken him out with one shot, one kill. Instead, all these people are cowering under their desk because they're at the mercy of the shooter.
John Lott, assuming that there is a shooter, and I just want to be clear that we're having conflicting reports right now about this active shooter situation, and we will give you more as we get it, but I also want you to know that you can see, based on the television coverage right now, that the police are absolutely mobilizing in a very, very big way. And we're talking Secret Service, D.C. Metro Police, and National Park Service. A huge response. So you can see many of the officers are putting on their gear, and they seem to be preparing for some kind of activity. John Lott is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. I know that you agree with Jesse Jane Duff about the idea of firearms on a military base. Let's start there for a second. Were there any changes at the Navy Yard after the last situation with regard to the policy of allowing members of the military or other people who work there to be able to defend themselves?
No, unfortunately. I mean, I agree completely with her. I had a son of mine who was stationed in Afghanistan, and then later at Fort Hood, he was there present for the second shooting that was there. But when he was in Afghanistan, he's basically required to have his gun with him at all times. So whether he'd go working out or go eat or whatever, he'd have a weapon with him at all times. The government insisted that they have, but somehow, when they're back in the United States at a base, they're no longer considered safe to be able to go and carry a gun around.
Yeah.
There's no problems that they can point to in Afghanistan or when we had that policy in Iraq that was occurring.
Right.
The administration did a study after these shootings, and the big thing that they pointed to was more emphasis on mental health to try to identify these people beforehand. Here's the problem. You know, over half of the mass public shootings that we have in the United States, the shooters were seeing psychiatrists or other mental health experts prior to their attacks. And the thing is, none of them, not in one single case, were these experts able to identify these individuals as dangerous to others before they actually did the attack.
Right.
I mean, there's a whole literature in psychology about how incredibly difficult it is for a psychologist to identify beforehand these types of individuals. It's such rare cases.
I don't want to, I know. I don't want to get too far ahead of this because we don't even have a confirmed active shooter necessarily. There are multiple sources right now on this, and we don't know that. I mean, this whatever this is, it might not even be a psychological issue for sure. But
right, I'm just saying that was their solution.
Right.
And I'm just saying it's not much of a solution in general. Whether you need
whether
to do the types
now,
of
yeah.
things that the Marine was just talking about there, and that is, what's your backup plan?
Right.
Whether this person who may be doing this has psychological issues or not, the question is, if you don't catch them What do you do? What's your next line of defense?
I would love to get back to you. Talk about your son. Now, I think people forget that at Fort Hood there was a second active shooter recently. It was within the last 12 months, if I recall. And your son was actually on the base at that time. I'm sure that he expressed and told you exactly what the scene was like. What happens on a base at this moment, considering these are members of the military who can't defend themselves and there is an active shooter situation? Do they respond on a base such as the Navy Yard in the same way that we would respond in any office building?
They certainly seem like that. I mean, I've, unfortunately, because the work I've done, I've talked to a lot of people who have been present at mass public shootings just in general. My son was about a block and a half away. He could hear shots being fired. He saw people running away from the scene. But it was basically a lot of chaos with people just trying to get out of the way of the shooter. There was nothing that individuals could do in order to try to stop this individual. They didn't have what people don't understand, maybe, is that a place like Fort Hood is just like a little city. You know, you have security around the outside, but as the military person that you were just talking to was saying, they're not going to go and, you know, give heavy screening to everybody that goes into the base. It would be backed up for hours. It would be impossible to have people go and work on the base or do anything else in that case. But once you get inside the base, it's essentially a little city where you have, just like in Washington, D.C., you have cops going around in patrol cars. That's pretty much what you have the military police doing in a place like Fort Hood. And just like you don't expect for any other type of shooting for police to instantly be on the scene, there's no reason to expect that the military police are going to instantly be on the scene when something happens there either.
Sure. John Lott, thank you so much for joining us as the story continues to develop. It's good to have your perspective on this so early on. Again, just wanted to reiterate what we know right now. There are reports of an active shooting situation on the Navy Yard. The Navy Yard is on lockdown, an enormous police presence in South